Memory a hunt with Alex. We were at the farm, and we were over by our gray barn area, and Alex was calling turkeys. Nate Whited was filming. And in comes this turkey, and I could hear Alex, and he's calling me. Oh, my gosh, look at that turkey spurs. They're 2 inches. When I heard that, I went, boom.
He did.
The turkey was too far, wasn't he, Alex?
He was. I remember
and we
that.
Chased him and chased him, and unfortunately, we never did catch him. Yeah. But I blame Alex for me. I got him fired up.
Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early
Wise Eye
dawn
presents.
To climb up in
Welcome to American Roots Outdoors, another weekly episode. We are in the studio again.
Woot, woot.
Whoop.
2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row. What's going on?
2 weeks in a row. Hey, it's too hot to be outside.
Two weeks in a row, I've had to get dressed up. Y'all aren't here. I can come in just wearing my rags that have been working.
And slippers. And yeah, I understand.
He's wearing his Airyback softball shirt, and he's got... the red bone hat on.
That's right.
Yeah, we if you was going to plant some Eagle Seed food plots, we got an Eagle Seed shirt and hat for you outside.
He's got his dress jeans on, too.
Yeah, his dress jeans.
The only jeans I have.
Old red bone. Only jeans he has.
I have two pair. I have to wear whichever one's clean.
Anyway, everybody, it's absolutely terribly hot here in the Midwest in the Ozarks. 108 temperature heat index today. The smallmouth, they said it was so hot that the smallmouth won't even get out into the daylight. They're going up underneath these rocks and hiding.
I don't doubt it. I heard earlier in the week that the crappie were really good, though, on the lake.
Really?
Yes. The big slab crappie.
That's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
I did see, though, you talk about being so hot. I saw a robin, and she was blowing on the worm before she ate it.
It is so hot. There you go. You got to give us one, Redbone.
It is so hot.
Wayne, you got to give us one. It is so hot. Give us a story.
That when I take the eggs out of the chicken coop, they're already hard-boiled.
Yep. That'll happen.
That's about true, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So that's your jokes for the show, for the first segment. Anyway, it is summertime. It is food plot planting time. And I've got all my 6-7 food plots in with Eagle Seed Smorgasbord and Winter Garden. Everything is put in, drug in.
I just need some rain.
Yeah, rain, right.
Need some rain. Everybody out there is planting. You know, we want to encourage you. If you haven't checked out Eagle Seed Smorgasbord, I've got some of it still left in my trailer at home. Wayne went down and picked it up.
Yeah, try to think what we pick up, 6,000-7,000 pounds of it?
5,500 pounds.
5,500 pounds, yeah.
5,500 pounds of it. Yep. So we got Eagle Seed Smorgasbord. We got the CRSA, Current River Smallmouth Association Tournament, coming up this Saturday when you hear this show at Donovan, Missouri. It's the last of August tournament. I predict it's going to take 10.5 pounds to win it. That's my prediction. Your prediction. How many pounds?
I have no idea.
9 pounds.
It's too hot.
They
could be right. You could be right.
I think if you get 4 decent fish, you got a chance of winning. You don't even need 5.
I say, wow. I say, if you can imagine to stay on the river all day, you might win.
My brother Jack and I, he calls me. You know, he's old redneck. You know how he is. He works a farmer. He's out in the heat. He didn't even want to turn the air conditioner on when we rode to the river. We left at noon. I said, Jack, it's hot.
So here's the question for you.
Yeah.
Along those same lines. I don't turn on the heat in my truck when I'm going to the deer woods on really cold days to start getting acclimated.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
Makes sense to me.
I just wonder if a lot of people do that because I just don't. Adam will be sitting over there and he'll be like, why don't you turn the heat on? I said, nope, got to get used to it.
That's a good idea, but you know, some people can acclimate, some don't, you know. So.
Well, if you're riding with me, you better acclimate.
Remind me not to deer hunt with Redbone. Yeah. You wouldn't be a good road hunter because you ain't got the heat on in the truck.
No, that's right.
Well, you know, the nice thing about being small like Alex and I is that those large coolers that they have, those are actually considered like bathtubs on the water. So we could fit right in and cool down on a hot day on the boat.
Yeah, but anyway, you got a benefit tournament coming up here in September for Richard Blake over on the North Fork Lake, and we'll get more information on that as weeks progress. Again, it's food plotting, planting season. People are still fishing, catching fish. I'm excited about the upcoming archery seasons. Mm-hmm. I got some friends coming in to hunt. I'm not getting but a picture of one decent buck. The rest of the bucks are a little bitty young deer. So my wise eye are sending me pictures daily. Lots of deer coming up in my yard feeding every morning, every evening.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about the food plots a minute ago, and one of the things I wanted to bring up is if you haven't checked out our Facebook page, be sure to look at the our post we just had. Friends of ours of American Roots and that, they listened to our spring podcast this year on tips and tricks on food plotting. Mm-hmm. And I posted a picture of their 2020 food plot and their 2021, and you can see it's decimated and probably 1 inch high from all the deer getting in. And this year, it's shoulder height on her because of the fact they put in that three-strand electric fence.
Yeah.
And they did the fertilizer, they did the soil testing, and it's amazing the difference that it's made. I mean, they now have a an acre and a half of shoulder-high Eagle Seed soybeans, and it's just looking phenomenal. I know as soon as they open it up, it's going to be, them deer are going to be hammering it.
Yeah.
But I told them to keep a little section off for late season, get it wire back off and then save some for late season because January rolls around. You're going to want that that brown stuff. They're going to come right in there.
Yeah, when they open that up, it's going to be like a happy hour at the Golden Corral.
Right. Right. And also, if you're listening to this the show, make sure you get over on that post. Post a picture of your current food plot that you got going on right now because we got a contest going on. We're going to give you an Eagle Seed hat, a shirt, and a American Roots Outdoors podcast thermos.
Oh, there cool. You go, man. What a great giveaway. We got a great show lined up for y'all. We got, again, part two of Carmen and David Forbes talking about HS Hunter Specialties Days. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Wadding with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man. Don't miss an episode.
Wishing on some love. I've been on a big boy for a while, like loading in the back of my truck.
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should, too. Make your hunt easier. Use WiseEye.
Up a big old hill. Year after year, got my hunting gear.
Hornady presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors, segment two of our show. Again, as promised, we've got Carmen and David Forbes on the line calling us from, where you guys at, Cedar Rapids or at Kirchville? Where you at?
We're in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids. How hot is it in Cedar Rapids?
It is hot.
Hey, the guy said a while ago, we're saying it is so hot here that the smallmouth in the river will not get out in the sun. They're hiding underneath rocks. Then Wayne,
I don't blame him. I can understand that. Mm-hmm.
And Wayne said it's so hot he went to the chicken coop to gather his eggs that the eggs was already hard boiled. They was cooked. Then Redbone said, "Tell him, Redbone."
I don't remember what I said. That was a while ago. Oh, it was so hot I saw a robin and she was blowing on the worm before she ate it.
That's pretty funny. You got to give us one. How hot is it in Cedar Rapids?
Probably mid-90s, Alex.
Without the heat index.
Yeah. What was nice, though, we had rain last night and it mm-hmm. rained this morning. So it did cool it down some, but it's still hot.
Yeah, but that just raised the humidity.
Yeah.
Have you got anything funny that you can say, like it is so hot in Cedar Rapids that, if you think of anything?
It almost matches my body.
Oh, I love it!
There you go.
Woo! Honeymoon tonight, David.
You got that.
All right.
How was that one, Alex?
I loved it. That's good, man. That's the same Carmen I've always known, everybody. She is a hoot. All right, guys, we talked about the creation of Hunter Specialties and how you started off your company with one great idea, the Nomar tape, and you went into making the makeup kit. Then you become one of the number one hunting companies in the nation, and you sold the company. And now new owners own the company, and we wish them the best of luck. And we just hope that they continue to produce the wonderful products that you did and you quality controlled back in the day. So if you was to pick one product or item that you guys created that really made you smile, what would it be?
Alex, probably, you know, we mentioned it last week, probably, you know, if we had to pick one product, I'd like to pick two. Carmen, I'd probably like to pick two. Okay. One is the diaphragm development, which you played a major part of. But, you know, we built a machine that built them automatically.
Yes.
And we could build them within, you know, 1/100,000th of an inch.
That's correct.
Wow. So that's one thing. The other thing is probably the Scentaway category.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Remember? Oh, we're going to have three then.
Okay. Okay.
Carmen's going to mention one.
All right, go ahead.
But in the Scentaway category, if you remember, we developed so many products that help the consumer, you know, go to the woods.
Smell invisible.
Smell invisible. And the other thing is, it, you know, it kept ringing the cash register for the dealer. So,
yeah.
Those are the two product categories that I'm thinking of. And Carmen?
I'm not sure about a category, but the product, to me, of course, would be the Camel Compact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that not only went to the hunters, it went to Hollywood, it went overseas to Afghanistan.
The
government came to us and wanted us to change the formula a little bit, because when it was over in Desert Storm, the oil would rise to the top because it was so hot over there. So we actually had to reformulate the makeup formula, and so that didn't happen. So the compact really took us in a lot of different directions.
You know, I remember, if I may interject, I remember creating the Scentaway, and to make it better, that you come up with the idea to put honey in the shampoo. Am I correct? In the conditioner?
Well, it wasn't exactly the product honey.
Okay.
But honey was in that name, yes.
Okay.
And one, it was unique enough that you could use it for shampooing your hair as well as washing your body.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was unique, Alex, to the product.
Yeah, I remember when we first came out with it, I told you, I said, David, I don't think we need this stuff to kill deer. Well, I learned real quick. And when you asked me to come up and test it, and we'd sit down and have deer directly downwind of us 10, 15 yards, it made me a believer, and I went to killing bigger deer.
I'm waiting to hear Alex say those three words, though.
I was wrong.
You got it.
Carmen's a good listener. I was wrong.
Yeah. Alex, remember when you came up to test, you and Philip Vanderpool?
Correct.
Come up, and we sent you to different parts of our farm. We actually
sure
put you on the ground.
On the ground.
Rather than, you know, 12 to 15, 17 feet in the air in our stands. But that's how we tested a lot of product.
That's
well,
right.
And another big thing was Wayne Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, elk
with the elk.
Hunting. And then he always said, no, he goes, you have to play the wind. This, you know, Scentaway isn't going to make any difference with elk. You have to play the wind. So when we were out west hunting, you know, we said, look, you're going to use the whole system and
correct.
See what happens. And he walked out of those mountains after that hunt, and he was a true believer.
I remember that.
Unbelievable.
I remember that. And you remember, Carmen, Dave, we would film some of the most mind-blowing footage with animals so close to us on the ground, and people couldn't believe it. And we was hunting wild, and we never hunted high fence. We hunted wild. It was that. I mean, tell you, that was biblical with HS. You hunted fair chase.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? One of the products too, Alex, that played. You know, we just had a lot of products that were very functional.
Yes.
But one of the products that plays a really important part is the fresh earth wafers.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. You know, washing your clothes and putting it in, you know, the green scent safe bag, and now the new bags, I think, are gray. Mm-hmm. But putting those wafers in with those clean clothes, you know, impregnated, you know, the mm-hmm. smell of woods right into your garments. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you use the fresh earth wafer along with sometimes cedar wafers or sometimes pine wafers, but you pin on the outside of your clothes, and it mm-hmm. just really, really, you know, gave the feeling, like Carmen said, you know, the smell of invisible, you know, when the hunter goes to the woods.
This is wonderful.
Right.
We're going to go to a break, everybody. This first segment's wrapped up here. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with more of David and Carmen Forbes, the inventors of Hunter Specialties. This is great information. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
This is Brenda Valentine, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
Up a big old hill, year after year, got my hunting gear.
Denali Rods presents... Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors again in the studio with Redbone Mike Crace, Wayne Locke, myself, and on the phone, Carmen and David Forbes, the inventors of Hunter Specialties, one of the number one hunting companies in the outdoor industry. At one time, they basically owned the industry.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt in
that. Yeah.
They had more market share than anybody, and... It's unbelievable.
You know, and he was talking about the wafers there at the end of the last segment. It reminded me that that's one thing my wife was very glad that they invented at the time. And that was because I used to take, you know, pine needles and all that kind of stuff and shove them in the, you know, black garbage bags to make my stuff smell good. Well, all that stuff ended up going where? Right into the washing machine and stuff like that. So when I didn't have to do that no more, she thought that was the greatest thing because she wasn't picking pine needles out of the washing machine anymore.
I want to contribute to that scent waver. You know, when you do the whole system, wash your hair, your body, your clothes, and you put them in the bag, and you put the wafers in there, and when you take them out and you pin the wafers on the side of your hat or in your clothes, mm-hmm. as air would pass through the wafer, it would throw off, you know, molecules into the air to cover, make a scent cover for you. And the thing is, we would preach to everybody, and we'd done our seminars, product knowledge, training, whatever, to match the cover scent to the air you're hunting. So we had cedar, we had pine, we had fresh earth, and we had white oak acorn. And it's unbelievable how it worked, wasn't it, Carmen, Dave?
Yep, absolutely. We also encouraged turkey hunters to wear them out because nothing worse than having a turkey coming in and a deer sending in blowing, and it blows the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we encouraged turkey hunters to go through the whole system and use the wafers, the whole thing.
And it works.
And remember, there are three wafers in the container.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to wear all three wafers out there.
Yeah.
And then when you come back from the woods, don't leave them on your clothes, because mm-hmm. if they're available to the air, they're losing the, because the scent just keeps pumping out. Mm-hmm. You need to put the wafers back into the container, because they're really, really, you know, built to last, you know, mm-hmm. about 15 hours mm-hmm. of hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing to remember, though, I know you said wear all three wafers. Location of where you put them was important. I found that out because those wafers, believe it or not, they will actually travel about 50 yards.
Yeah,
in the air.
Yeah.
Because when I shot my doe one time, the string caught from my bow caught the wafer, and it was like a frisbee. It just, you could see it soaring. And it went like 50 yards, pinged off of a tree, and then went about another 20 yards. And I'm like, what the heck was that? I didn't know what it was until I went to go take my hat off, and my wafer wasn't on the front of my head no more.
Yeah. We had one of them. We had Dominant Buck. We had Premium Doe Estrus in a wafer form. I remember I would take the wafers, either hang them on a limb, or if I see a deer or something and the wind changed, I would throw the wafer out so the deer would smell it.
Hmm.
It was and they would actually, I've got footage of deer actually coming to the wafers and licking them.
Oh yeah,
it's one of the best wafers too with the cow elk urine.
Yes,
you talk about strong.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, also when you put them back in the canister, they rejuvenate themselves.
Yes,
and brought their strength back. So that's why it's important to put them back in the canister after every use. And that, you know, we've named several products here that you guys designed, which is huge at the retail. So, for example, if you don't mind me asking, if we can roughly say a number, what kind of number SKUs would we sell in a year of Scentaway? Could you say that?
Oh, my
God.
Wow.
Just give a number.
100,000, Alex.
I know the diaphragms. I remember I've got some of the charts you give me when we would sell to dealers and box stores. Our diaphragm sales, some of them was over a quarter of a million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Alex, you can take that times three.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's
three
how big this company was.
Yeah.
That's huge numbers. People are hearing stuff now, past tense, how successful this company was.
We're bringing back memories. I'm thinking about here, first time I saw Hunter in the woods wearing one of those wafers on the side of his hat. And I was like, what do you have on your head?
He said, it's old hillbilly.
Mickey Mouse.
Carmen, David, old hillbilly said, that's that new satellite dish. I'm retrieving information. We used to have fun with that. But no, everybody in the country was wearing them.
Yeah, they did. They started wearing them. But the first time you see it, you go, hey, you got something on your hat. And they go, yeah, no.
You trying to be Mickey Mouse or what? Yeah. But really, the product worked. And, you know, you guys was innovators of helping people become more successful. And, you know, I was talking to Wayne on the way here to the studio. I said, I'm going to ask him what is one of their most memorable hunts of big deer that's killed. And what came to my mind was Stan Potts, that big nasty buck he killed 220-something in Illinois. Mm. You remember that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Remember how Stan shot that deer?
Yeah, I do.
He shot that deer. He got criticized a little bit for it, but he was so close. He drove that deer through his chest, remember?
Yep, down the side of his neck. Actually, yep. Stan took me to the very tree with him and showed me where he killed it on the spot and where he tracked the deer and found it. The deer was quartering to him, and he shot the side of the neck and the chest, and he had to track it over a quarter of a mile.
Wow.
It was 223 or something like that, gross score.
And he was using the complete Scentaway
system. Yes, he was. He was another one that doubted it, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Remember, Carmen mentioned Wayne Carlton?
Yep.
Remember, Philip Vanderpool filmed Wayne shooting his bull that scored over 400.
Yes, sir.
And they were using that system. In fact, they sprayed the... Seems like Philip said, I think we sprayed the whole tree with Scentaway that we were in. And we just wanted to make sure, you know, they had wafers, you know, they had the cow elk eared wafers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. Wayne was, to say he was impressed, to say the least.
Well, great product creates great success, and that's what you guys have done with your company that you owned. And, again, we hope they continue creating great products like you did when you controlled the company, Carmen, Dave.
Yeah, Dave and
Carmen. Well, remember the one thing we had? We had great customers. Mm-hmm. We had the consumers that supported us, Alex.
Yes, it was
that
all
was so
about
important.
It was all about relationships. You've always taught us that, Carmen, David. It's always about the relationship and taking care of the customer, your dealer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got just about a minute left in this segment. I think we're going to tell some Alex stories in the next segment, I hope. But my question, I sit here listening to all this, Carmen and Dave and whoever wants to answer. Do you ever, as you look back and maybe, you know, talking like we've done for the last 2 weeks, do you ever sit back and go, why did we give up the company? Why did we sell? Do you ever have any regrets about it?
Yeah, we've had many opportunities to jump back in the industry. We've had people come to us wanting us to help them, and I'm ready to jump in, and Dave sits back and goes, nah, I don't think so. So it's you know, kind of when we sold it, it was the same way. I was not ready. Dave was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I agreed to it.
Yeah.
I'm okay now. I mean, I believe me, I miss the industry, miss the people, miss the interaction. But we're, you know, we're keeping busy with the farm and here, and so I guess we're happy with it.
Yeah. Retirement is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I guess as I sit here and listen to the passion that they had for the business, that
exactly.
know, there had to be, you know, some thought back there somewhere like, oh, why'd we ever
We're going
to
talk more about this when we come back.
Everybody. Yeah, it is time for a break.
We got some Alex stories.
Uh-oh. Right. There we go.
All right. You're listening to American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends. More with Carmen and Dave Forbes coming up in just a moment.
Hey, this is Eddie Salter, and you listen to American Roots and Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
Around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Hi, everybody. This is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. How many of you need an attorney? If you're like me, sometimes you do. I go to Zane Prevett at the Prevett Law Office. Willow Springs, Missouri, no case is too big or too small. You can call Zane at 417-469-3535. Zane Prevett at the Prevett Law Office. This is Alex Rutledge, and he is my attorney. Eagle Seed presents... Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors. We're having a large time here in the K-Country 95 studio with Redbone, Wayne, and Carmen and Dave. Man, what some wonderful stories, Wayne, they've been sharing.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more about the retirement. I know when I first retired as a medic with Cleveland, I missed the adrenaline. I missed all the action, you know, being in a big city like that, urban area. You know, you had all the shootings, the stabbings, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah. After a while, it is nice to be able to take a four-hour nap in the middle of the day.
Who does that?
Yeah,
Dave, who does that?
Dave just got done.
Oh, he did?
I tell you what, it is so nice, isn't it, Dave?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And whenever you want. That's a nice thing.
That's right.
Well, you know, I work 10 hours every day, and I still take about a two-hour nap every afternoon.
Hey, naps are good.
We never had time for naps before. We barely had time for sleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We was always wired like 220, man. And some of the memories from some of the shows we done, Carmen, I always look forward to the SHOT Show because everybody and their brother and sister and kids would come to our booth to eat lunch. I'll never forget that. And we'd visit with everybody. Everybody came to the Hunter Specialties booth because they loved you and Dave and the staff.
Yeah. Well, you know, Carmen used to feed our customers, and we could always, you know, we could always tell our reps would always be there at noon because it was time to eat because all the customers would be there.
Yeah.
And
they knew where to find the buyers.
Yeah, they knew where to find the buyers. So that was deep. That was great memories.
Yes. And you know.
Yeah, but my parents always went to help.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
That was always fun.
Yeah. Man, you would see movie stars. You'd see country singers coming into their booth, just like family, and sitting down and visiting, grabbing a snack or a sandwich or something. Just great memories, man. Those memories were deep in my
heart. Blake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Blake Shelton, Craig Morgan.
Yeah.
All kinds of people would come to our booth.
Johnny Anderson.
Yeah, and hang out with us and just act normal. Aaron Tippin. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the fondest memories I have, I remember getting in trouble several times.
No. No, not you.
Yeah.
Careful where you're going.
Yeah, I remember one of the first shows I ever went to, and everybody, I was just joking, and somebody asked me, they wouldn't, and Dave and Carmen wasn't sure about taking me to the SHOT Show or any of the big shows because I was so country, right, Carmen, Dave? They wasn't sure.
Exactly. You got that right.
And I had a silver tooth, and they said, hey, Alex, do you care if we get your tooth fixed? They got my silver tooth replaced with a white tooth, and my dentist at Mountain View, bless his heart, Dr. Dunlap, he made it a little longer than the other one, but it didn't match pretty close.
But anyway, I remember that.
So anyway, we're the show, and first show, now, Alex, you got to watch what you say, Dave and Carmen. You know, we want to be professionals. Say what, you know, be careful. It's okay to be funny, but watch what you say because some people don't know how to take you. I'll never forget an outdoor rider come up to me and said, where are you from? I said, I'm Birch Tree, Missouri. Birch Tree, Missouri. What's that? I said in the Missouri Ozarks. He says, what kind of turkey jerky? I do it all. I said, well, what's your season dates now? I said, well, we have several season dates. I said, before season, during season, and after season. I was joking. David Carman did not like that. They got me back. They scolded me. They took me to the back room there to break whatever. Now, you can't say that. I said, I was just being funny. I didn't mean it.
You don't want that end up in print.
No.
We wanted you to be truthful, but you have to be careful.
Yeah, oddly enough, he was.
Alex, I remember one of your hunts.
Yeah.
For watching the video, and we kept hearing.
Yeah, I remember it.
And you're talking, and then you take... Alex, what are you doing? He was chewing and he was spitting.
I was turkey up. I go. My dad had the habit of doing that. I guess I watched him too much, and I, you know, just I got scolded pretty hard on that one. That was a bad one.
And, I remember and one also,
Go ahead.
Memory of a hunt with Alex. We were at the farm. And we were over by our gray barn area, and Alex was calling turkeys. Nate Whited was filming.
Yep.
And in comes this turkey, and I could hear Alex. And he's calling, and he thought, oh, my gosh, look at that turkey spurs. They're 2 inches. When I heard that, I went, boom.
He did.
The turkey was too far, wasn't he, Alex?
He was. I remember
and we
that.
chased him, and unfortunately, we never did catch him, but I blame Alex for me.
I got him fired up. I remember it was on a cedar glade, remember? It was kind of tall grass, and he come up around that tall grass. You remember that, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was strutting, coming. He's gobbling, man. We caught a lot of turkeys together, didn't we, Carmen and Dave?
Oh, we did. Absolutely, Alex. Those are memories that are so important.
They will go with me to heaven. They will.
Speaking of that, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Can you give us another Alex story that nobody's ever heard before?
Hold on. We'll save it for the bonus segment.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty to have on the bonus segment.
Yeah, there's more than one.
More stories for the bonus segment. Go ahead, Carmen. Make sure it's a good one. Don't get me in trouble. Oh, I know one. I could tell it. You want me to tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Linda's home, pregnant with Mallory, and the girls in the diaphragm room were always joking. So I called them one day like Conway Twitty, and I said, hey, darling, how y'all doing? You remember that, Carmen? And
yeah.
Colleen sent a note home in the diaphragms, Alex, you sounded so sexy over the phone, sounding like Conway Twitty. It made Linda P.O.'d.
Oh, yeah.
She was mad.
Oh, yeah, being pregnant, her hormones were probably raging.
But I was always joking and cutting up. Nobody knew that story, so I told it. But
that took a while for Linda to get over that.
Oh, I promise you. She was about to divorce me, and they damn had her kid. Yeah.
I did a lot of talking.
Yeah,
Alex, I remember the staff, when you used to come visit at the office.
Yeah.
They looked forward to you so much. One of the girls told me, I never know if he's telling the truth or he's lying.
Yeah. I like to talk, didn't I? I'll never forget Ron Beam creating that broom in there. He goes, hey, Alex, if you don't care, help me clean up the shop. He put batteries in it, made it shock you, and it shocked the living pee out of me. Oh, not knock me to the ground. Ron Bean, he's like the mad scientist. Man, what a great show, Carmen, Dave. This concludes our radio part of the show, but we got a bonus segment coming up, and Wayne's going to talk about that real quick.
Yeah, to listen to the bonus segment, just go to your favorite podcast carrier and type in American Roots Outdoors. Subscribe, listen, join, follow, whatever it says you need to do. They're all changing their lingo now. And leave us a review, and we're going to be drawing a winner again in a couple of weeks here for reviews and that. We'll be sending away this. By the way, this is our 100th episode.
Wow!
100 episodes. So we're going to have a good prize we're going to be giving away, but we're going to give people a chance to leave some reviews. And let's say 2 weeks.
And our rankings have been very good.
Yeah, we actually just ranked in the top 2% globally for podcasts in the outdoor category. So that's another proud achievement that we're going to be hanging our hat up on. Mm-hmm. And again, folks, get onto that podcast and take a listen.
We're going to wrap it up here, everybody. Remember, when your roots run deep and strong, thank you, Dave and Carmen, for being on the show. And if you want to listen to the bonus segment, tune in to the podcast. When your roots are deep and strong, there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never got to worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
True North Tree Stands presents American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. This is Wayne Luck. I'm Mike Creason studio. We have Alex in the studio. So all three of us in the studio at the same time. There we go. That's kind of a miracle in itself lately.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. We got Carmen and Dave still on the phone with us. And if you're listening to this, that means you are listening to your podcast on your favorite podcast carrier. We appreciate that. Make sure you leave us a review. Again, we're going to be doing a drawing in a couple weeks here. This is our 100th episode, and we are proud of making it that far. And not that we had any doubts, but we are glad that everybody's joining and following us and enjoying the listening and that.
We've had great guests, man.
Oh, we have.
Great guests.
I mean, you look back, we're going to have to maybe do some – we should put together a
– collage.
A collage of yeah. some of our guests, just some famous little – like 2 minute segments and just put it all together in that. But we've had some great guests, you know, Stan Potts and Michael Waddell and
Hank Parker,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Tippin, Tyler Farr, Dave and Carmen Forbes. Yeah, they're on here now.
And some local people, you know, like Jessica White.
And the Gig Maker.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that was one of our biggest shows, believe it or not, the Gig Maker, Carmen, Dave. It's a tradition down here to make homemade gigs to gig suckers on the bottom of the river to eat. And it was one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah. We used to use those to gig frogs or carp or whatever.
Yeah, so you've done some of that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Carmen,
gig frogs with a piece of red material.
Yeah, yeah, and grab them over the hook. You could do that too, Carmen.
Yep.
Tell us what we're looking at with Dave right now in the living room. What's life like with Dave in retirement? Tell us if we could see what he's doing. What's he doing right now?
Well, he's giving me the evil eye.
Uh-oh. Surely not.
Because I took a picture of him. We're in the sunroom, and he's laying on the couch with his shirt pulled up to his boobs and his belly hanging out. And I was going to, I took a picture of him, and I was going to send it to you real quick. And he thought I was messing with my phone, so he was going to chew me out.
Remember, I said, when you're hot, you're hot.
I love it. I love it. You guys still got the smoke.
Yeah, man. Wait, what's the follow-up to that, the old song? And when you're not, you're not.
Not.
You're not. That's right. He even has on a red shirt.
Yeah, and Carmen made a mistake. My belly wasn't hanging out. It was just there.
Well, I found it as I got older, and Alex, I know you fall in this category too, so you're going to have to agree with me on this. But, you know, when you get older, you get wiser. And, you know, when you're younger, you have a six-pack. But at today's prices and inflation, I find it much easier to carry around a two-liter.
Yeah. That's right.
24-pack, yeah.
Yeah, and your chest, you know, lowers a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it happens to us all, believe me. Yeah.
Carmen, Dave.
Believe me. We were just sitting at the table going through some old pictures when we were waiting to call you guys. And you look at those pictures. I have pictures of Alex when he was very young.
Oh, man. I'd love to
see them.
Even
in some of these. Some of them are from shows and
beautiful.
And things that we had going on. So we were reminiscing, waiting for you guys to call.
We love you being on the show with us, because I'm telling you, people are loving it.
Yeah, well, I want to ask a story, because this is a story that I heard direct from Eddie Salter. And Eddie told me one day that when y'all hired Alex, that none of the other folks in the business had ever met Alex. And he said, Alex sent us a picture of him carrying a gobbler, that he was carrying this gobbler over his shoulder, and his head was dragging the ground. And Eddie said, we thought, this guy kills the biggest turkeys we've ever seen in our lives. And then we met Alex, and we found out, no, it's just because he's really short. Now, is that a true story? Do y'all remember that around the office?
No, and Eddie Salter, that is a true story. Eddie wasn't like Alex. He didn't know if it was true or not true.
Yeah, Eddie's a hoot, man. He's one of my best friends. Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie's a great, great guy. That boy can go to the woods and kill turkeys.
He sure can. But that makes me think of a story I want to share real quick, Carmen, David. We had a bet with you and Philip Vanderpool and Eddie, and it was Dave, me, and Jeff Lovin. And the bet was whoever killed the first turkey first on film, the other team that lost had to fix lunch and clean the trailer. Do you remember that, David?
I remember that.
Okay, tell the story.
Well, if Dave yeah. lost, I guarantee you had peanut butter and jelly.
No. Alex, go ahead and tell the story.
All right. Well, anyway, we went to the Blue Gates. Jeff Lovin and I, Dave said, we'll go to Blue Gate. Carmen, you and Eddie pick where you want to go. And Eddie and Carmen, they called in some turkeys. And I think somebody spooked them or you missed one or something. And anyway, Dave killed his turkey. Okay, we call it in. We kill it instantly, wasn't it? Two of them come
up. Absolutely.
Another one went to gobbling. We changed positions. Dave went to calling, and I killed it. We killed two that morning, and Eddie didn't have nuts, so we can brag about beating Eddie and Carmen. We did. So they had to fix lunch and wait on us hand and foot because we got to beat them. But that doesn't happen very often with Eddie Salter and Carmen Forbes.
I was going to say, that doesn't happen to a lot of times when Eddie and Carmen go hunting.
Yes.
Carmen killed the first turkey.
Yes.
And then Eddie call another one, and Eddie take Carmen's gun and kill his turkey.
Exactly. So. And that's what we did. It was finally our turn to do it. So it's hard to beat Eddie Salter. You can comment and talk about Eddie, because Eddie contributed a lot to Hunter Specialties. He helped.
Absolutely.
He sure
Absolutely.
Did.
Absolutely.
You guys all did.
Yeah,
We
had the greatest team in the outdoor industry, I think, to this day.
Yeah, the Fab Five of the outdoor industry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why we had such great products. We had tremendous people testing them and telling us this product was safe or good to take to the market. So.
Well, and when people thought of, when the consumer thought of Hunter Specialties, they didn't think of Dave and Carmen Forbes. They didn't know who we were. We were in the background.
Yeah.
You know, the front runners for us was Alex, Eddie, Matt, Rick White.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who the people thought of when they thought of Hunter Specialties, not Dave and I. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, and that's why I was going back to the Fab Five comment, is that as a consumer and a kid, you know, at the time, a kid growing up watching this, you know, on TV for the first time and listening to it and reading about it and, you know, buying the products and that, you believed these guys because we tested it. Well, not only did you test it, but we've believed in you
because we watched you.
We watched your hunts. We watched how you did things, the way the story was laid out. And so we knew that if you guys were saying that this is what to buy, what to get, we wanted to be just like these guys.
Yeah, because we told
Absolutely.
The truth. We told the truth. We showed the truth.
Yeah.
A lot of people reminisce, Alex, to the yellow trucks.
Yes.
That you guys drove.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Saw them all over.
Yeah.
You know, another great memory I had was with you guys is driving the, pulling the race cars to all the shows and talking racing. Man, that was a huge hit. You remember that, Redbone?
I do.
Then we're going to wrap it up here. But Carmen, Dave, we love you guys so much. We'd love to have you back on again. Who knows? There'll be another part three coming up soon sometime. And I want to let you close with something you want to say to everybody that's listening out there in the world. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it was fun for Carmen and I, but I was going to get a quick story in about Alex. We talked about the race cars. We have to talk about that next time, Alex, because
okay.
we have consumers call us and say, do you know you have Alex Rutledge driving that race car down Main Street?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a step up from the lawnmowers he used to be driving.
I'll never forget leaving Tennessee, Johnson City, wherever Mahoney's is at, South Carolina, the city police and the sheriff's department toured, led me out with their lights on out of town like I was somebody famous.
They just wanted to make sure you left.
Great memories, man. Great memories. We love you all, Carmen, David.
We love you,
we
too,
love you
Alex.
Guys too.
We got
Thanks
to have you on
us.
Again.
Yes.
Got to have you on again. Thanks for being on the show with us. And remember, everybody,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
God bless you.